This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Time to Suit Up.
It's time to suit up. If there's ever been a time when our faith is under attack, it's today. Now, there are many, many times in history when our faith has been under attack. It's being under attack today. So I'd like to begin with this account. She was just 8 years old when her father, a pastor, walked out on her mother, leaving them with five children. When she was 12, she had a life-changing spiritual encounter when she, quote, accepted Jesus into her heart. From that time forward, her family could see a deep and growing spiritual depth developing in her life. She broke up with a boy she loved in order to keep herself chaste. Later, she was rejected by five of her closest friends for talking openly about her faith. She wrote in her diary, quote, I have no more personal friends at school, but you know what? It's all worth it to me. If I have to sacrifice everything for Christ, I will. On April 20th, 1999, Rachel Scott sat outside the cafeteria where two troubled students, armed with guns, came up the stairs at Columbine High School. They opened fire, hitting her three times. After leaving to find more victims, they returned to where Rachel lay crying in pain. One of them lifted her head by her ponytail and jeered, "Do you believe in God?" And she answered, "Yes." He put the gun to her temple and killed her. When the time came for Rachel to put her faith on the line, she was prepared to pay the ultimate sacrifice. What about you and what about me? Bible challenges us to put it all on the line for Jesus. And sometimes it doesn't seem to be like a big deal. Okay, so you make your faith known to the people who are not believers, and sometimes they give you a hard time. But there are many places in the world and in this country where people's lives are literally being put on the line. It takes courage to be a Christian in the 21st century. Some reports say more Christians are being martyred for their faith around the world in this century than in any century before in history. While at the same time, and this is a beautiful irony, at the same time while martyrdom is growing by leaps and bounds, so is belief in Jesus Christ. Especially in the Pacific Rim, where Christians are being added daily by the thousands, and it's reported that this is the greatest growth in our Christian faith in Christianity's history, both at the same time. Generally in America, we don't face the kind of deadly, harsh persecution we see in the Middle East, Africa, or China. Ours is a kind of soft persecution of incremental battles as the courts and the culture strip away any public display of Christianity. The Ten Commandments, why are they bad? And tell me, I remember sitting in a classroom with the Ten Commandments posted there, and occasionally the teacher would run through them. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat. Those things. Don't kill. Somebody was actually saying don't, and it came from God's lips to stone, and it was in my classroom. Things were a lot different back then, and things have gotten a lot more violent at this point. Crosses are missing. Prayer in Jesus' name is not supposed to be spoken. I will never agree when asked if I would pray at some public function and not be allowed to say Jesus' name. I won't do it. Christmas carols, nativities, banning religious speech and expression. Our biblical faith is routinely ridiculed, marginalized, and demonized. Make no mistake, we are in a spiritual battle. Amen? Do you know that? Do you sense that? Once your eyes are open, you should be able to see this very clearly. And we need to have our eyes open. We can't put our head into the ground like the ostrich and try to close all things away. We've got to be aware of our surroundings and sensitive to it. Otherwise, they're coming for us. The Apostle Paul warned the church that we are in a spiritual battle, a war. Recently, this week, A man was protesting in front of Planned Parenthood. All he had was a banner up there. Some young guy came along, ripped the banner down, and beat and kicked this 85-year-old man to unconsciousness. Is that war? The use of militaristic speech can be seen throughout Scripture. Hebrews 2:10, our leader, Jesus Christ, is referred to as our captain. Captain. Exodus 15:3, he, the captain, is a man of war. He wants to fight this battle for us and with us. 2 Timothy 2:3, the first part of the verse says that his troops in Jesus' army will endure hardship. That's a fact. Be prepared. You will endure hardship if you're going to be a Christian. 2 Timothy 2, the last half of verse 3, and 2 Timothy 4:7, it says that a good soldier will fight a good fight. Keep on keeping on. And we face four battlefields in 2019. One, attacks from the world. I mean, there's no question about it that the entire institutions of our society are anti-Christian. Anybody doubt that? Whether it's education, whether it's entertainment, whether it's the news, you can go on and on and on with those who are very much anti-Christian. Secondly, attacks from life circumstances. I mean, there are just some things that want to bury you. There are some things that want to make you give up and throw in the towel. There are some circumstances that seem so big that they're giants in your life and you don't know how to deal with them. Well, God tells you that there's a way to deal with the giants. Take them down one stone at a time. The power of prayer. Third, attacks from within ourselves. Sometimes you and I can be our own worst enemy. Sometimes we let our doubts and our fears and our anxieties just run amok in our lives. And the more we rely on them and not on Jesus, the deeper we get. It's like digging yourself into a hole or being in quicksand. You struggle and struggle and struggle. Instead of reaching out for a lifeline, you go down deeper. And fourth, attacks from Satan. Do you believe that Satan is real? Because that's one of his greatest lies, to make people believe he isn't real. Paul writes, God has provided the believer with the spiritual resources which will enable us to have victory over spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in his power. Be strong when you feel like you can't be. Be strong to serve the Lord. Be strong to face the suffering that comes into your life and the challenges. Be strong to fight back whatever it is that comes in your way. Pastor George Mueller said this, to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. It says more up there than I just said, but focus on that. To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. You're going to have to exercise your faith muscles. You're going to have to lean on his strength. You're going to have to learn to let go and trust him. We take things into our own hands thinking that we have the answers to these questions and these issues. But he does. None of us possesses within ourselves the strength to wrestle with the challenges of life without the strong arm of the Lord. And when you've reached your limit, when you've gone beyond your natural limits, the believer's strength knows that God's strength takes over. Knowing and believing we are connected to God's power supply, which allows us to face all challenges with confidence, that it's not by power, not by might, but by his Spirit alone that gets us through the things. We will prevail through the storm. Think of this. Smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. There is no testimony without a test. You've got to go through these rough seas. You got to face these challenges in order to see that God is true and keeps his promises. When you go through these times when it just seems like you're overwhelmed and he gets you through, sometimes the best thing is going through it. That seems to be the best answer. Just go through it, because you're going to come out the other side. And prayerfully, you're going to come out better and not bitter. Hang on. We are learning as we go that circumstances and hard times may bloody us, they may scar us, but with his strength we will never be bowed and we will never be broken. Never, never. You're sitting here and in your life has been those times when you just felt that you were going to go under. It may have been the other day, it may have been another year, but you're here and you've gone through it and you're going through it and you're going to get through it. Don't give up and don't let go. Verses 11 through 13, God tells us to get suited up for battle. You don't have to head to Cabela's for this stuff. It's not that kind of warfare. God's pulling material off his heavenly shelves that fit you. Paul writes that the armor that he gives us will enable us to stand when Satan attacks. His attacks are planned to deceive, entrap, enslave, and ruin the souls of men and women. Paul says no matter what bulldozers come down on you, you can stand and you can withstand. You can stand and you can withstand anything that's coming at you, even though it may not feel like it. You're going to have to look back in the rearview mirror and see how God made you get through this. I sometimes, especially when I was a younger Christian, I'd look forward assuming I could see God's plan at work. Didn't work. I had to look in the rearview mirror before I saw how God's fingerprints were all over my circumstance and how he got me through. And so hindsight in this particular case is the best sight. Don't withdraw, don't slide back. Whatever you're facing, God has allowed you to face. Whatever you're facing, God has allowed you to face. He didn't send you out there to stand alone. He's placed you in your circumstance and he stands with you up to the end. So don't give ground to fear, anger, disappointment, discouragement, sorrow, or pain. Don't let it take you over. If you let it take you over, it's because you allowed it to happen. Your job is to hold on. Your job is to hang on, even if it's by your fingertips. To what? To God's promises that I'll get you through and you will not go through this alone. The circumstance may not change, but you will. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, it changes everything. Do you want to find God's truth and find the inward strength to fight your battles? Seek it in the Bible. Study it. Practice it. Pray for it. Put it into effect. Knowledge is what you know. But wisdom is how you apply what you know to your living. Put your wisdom that God's given you through his word into effect and fight the battle. But if you're not in God's word, if you don't consider yourself a lifelong student of his word, if you're not part of the continuing school of Christian studies, you're missing out. Where are you going to draw your power from? Where are you going to claim the promises if you don't even know the promises? It's a challenge by God to tell you to know his word. God's word will keep you from the devil, or the devil will keep you from God's word. And he loves to do that. He loves to keep people from church. Too many times we find him, we're at home seated, and it's Wednesday night, and we can't get up from the easy chair and go to Bible study. That's the devil sitting on your lap. Hit him upside the head and throw him off. Tell him, get out of my way, babe. I'm going to Bible study tonight. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate protects a soldier's vital organs. Think of it like a Kevlar vest protecting the police. And boy, do they need it in this day and age. Our protective vest is Jesus' righteousness. The Holy Spirit helps us to do what's morally right and just while protecting us from the devil's attempt to lure us to sin. The breastplate is protecting your testimony. It's sensitizing your consciousness. And it's protecting your heart's desire to do what's right and do what's just. You have within you the desire to do the right thing, and God wants to give you the necessary tools by which you can do the right thing and to hang on. Number three, feet shod. These are combat boots that help us from stumbling into the traps and tripping hazards laid out by Satan to stop our spiritual walk. A soldier in the army who is bootless might as well be useless. Right, Joe? Amen, Joe. All right, yeah, I need that from an MP. You're practically useless if a soldier marches. That's what we do. And they give us force marches, and we practically die in the process. Spiritual boots are a reminder that it's easy to be tricked up by Satan. It's easy to know that he designs footfalls to trip us. Our culture is being deceived into thinking there is no such thing as sin, for an example. No sin? Well, if you don't believe there's sin, then you don't believe you have to repent of anything. You don't believe you have to confess anything. You don't believe there's any necessity for those things. Well, if there's no repentance and if there's no confession, there's no forgiveness. So you're at a place in your head where you don't really need to be forgiven because there is no such thing as sin. No need for salvation. No need for a savior. Why do you need all that? You're not sinning. What's happening to the mind of our culture when we continually tell them there is no such thing as sin? Well, there are consequences to that kind of teaching. For example, when a culture refuses to accept sin, like the sexual sins, I think the sexual sins are probably the worst because they're the most prevalent. And what happens in that case? Well, these are not sins to be repented of. These are sins to be celebrated. Consequences of that? Unrepented sin walks us down into a pit of destruction, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You see, the more we say that the sexual sins are not sin, the more it works on our brain. It's proven that certain kinds of things that we see and certain kinds of things that we repeat work on our brain. And the brain begins to accept this idea that this is not sin. And we're telling a whole generation of young people there is no such thing as sin. And they're walking around with unrepented sin on their hearts and minds. They may not even think that it's sin. They don't even believe that there is a thing called sin. There is a consequence of that. Rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior. So you put on your spiritual shoes because Satan wants to trip you up. Number four, the shield of faith. Mark 9:23. All things are possible to him that believeth. Often Satan's ways are subtle. Paul calls them fiery darts. Quick shots of doubt. Quick shots of anger. Quick shots of temper which hit the mark and spread through us like poison. You know, we can adopt a certain lifestyle. We can adopt a certain way of being. And we tell other people, well, that's just who I am. And you'll have to just accept it. Maybe who you are needs to be confessed. Maybe who you are needs to be repented of. Maybe who you are is a bad testimony and a bad testimony to those around you. And you don't want a bad testimony because people see you and they see Jesus. You may be the best Christian somebody knows. What's your testimony? Satan loves with your testimony. Your greatest protector. Your greatest shield against those attacks is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Scripture, and faith in prayer. Paul writes and challenges us to take up our shield. Resist the enemy. You know, there's this whole political movement called resistance. Don't let anything happen in Washington, D.C., which on some level is a good thing. Amen, amen, amen. You got to let your faith go to work because your own mind can tear down your faith. Doubt sees the obstacles, but faith sees a way. Doubt sees the darkest night, and faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? After all, I'm the only one. And faith answers, I. You see, your doubts and your fears and your insecurities and your uncertainties lead to a place where you can be taken down. And faith in Jesus Christ and faith in His Word can keep you up. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. In the final analysis, all the spiritual battles we experience are battles for our heart and mind. Think about that. The entire world system wants to get into your head, especially our young people. The Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington recently said of the lowering of the voting age to 16, something like this. School was a place we could grab their mind. And you better believe it. You better believe that the school has become a place where our young people's minds can be captured. And not for Jesus. Captured. and taken away from their faith in Christ. That's why it's so important to see young people go off to a Christian college like Liberty University. So important that they go to a place where their faith is made stronger, not torn apart by some professor who is an atheist and wants to promote that religion to the kids in his school, in his class, while telling them religion's a bad thing. He only means Christianity. Make no mistake, young or old, we are all vulnerable to the culture's attempt to sell us something. Now they've got an ally in your smartphone, which tracks you wherever you're going. It knows exactly when you're standing in front of a shelf filled with product X. And it isn't long before you get a message back on your smartphone, all the other X's that are out there that you might want to consider buying. They know where you are at every minute. You don't think so? I've still got a flip phone, and I'm flipping out over it. I mean, you know, I don't know. They know where you are at all times. They seem to be able to track us, which is kind of like trying to rip off God, who is omnipresent and omnipotent. He must have given them the idea because he's the one that said he can be everywhere at all time and see us no matter what we're doing. I got confidence in him. I don't have confidence in them. We're all vulnerable to the idea of selling us something or to push a political agenda or to promote a secular worldview or a philosophical perspective such as moral and religious relativism. Moral and religious relativism basically says that, well, there's no truth. Your religion is as good as mine. No religion is as good as one religion. And that's what kids are being taught. The battlefield soldiers are constantly reminded to keep their helmets on. Why? Why did they tell us over and over again, Joe? Why did they tell us over and over again, put your helmet on, put your helmet on? Because you might be able to survive a body shot, but you will never be able to survive a headshot. You're not able to survive a shot when they've got your mind taken over. The protection for our head is defined in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It's the hope of our salvation. In other words, if you keep heaven in your mind, if you keep our destination in your head, if you keep where we go from here, it puts all of this in perspective. This world, Jesus told us, you're going to have nothing but heartache and aggravation, and you're going to have tribulation and all kinds. It's going to be dangerous to be here after a while. But keep heaven in mind. Yes, it's bad down here, but it's going to be great up there. Yes, you go through suffering and turmoil down here, but it's going to be beautiful up there. Nothing on earth will ever compare to the beauty of heaven. Keep the promise in your head. It'll help you put things in perspective down here. And that's what you need to do from time to time. Get that perspective. Knowing that you're saved, knowing how you got saved, having the assurance of your salvation, knowing you have a home in heaven for eternity, this knowledge, with all its implications, will protect your heart and mind from false teachings and give you confidence and boldness to face any of Satan's lies. Keep these truths in mind. You've got something the world cannot steal, take away from you. You've got salvation in Jesus Christ. There was nothing you could do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it. You are secure in his hands. You're home already for all intents and purposes. Keep it in mind. Number 6, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The only offensive weapon in our personal spiritual battle, whatever the battlefield, whatever the challenge, God tells us to pick up our sword. It's a sharp one. Use it in hand-to-hand combat. The believer is admonished never to use man's wisdom to defeat false teaching or apostasy. God has given us his word, and the only way to fight back is with that. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is how you fight back heresy. This is how you fight back apostasy. This is how you fight back against atheism. This is how you fight back against secularism. It's with God's word. And using God's word to fight back. This is how you fight back against doubt and fear and anxiety. You quote scripture. You quote scripture to the devil. You quote scripture back to the Lord and say, Lord, you made me this promise and I claim it. Claim those promises. There are people in here. I'm looking at your faces. You've told me face to face that you've gotten in some bad situations or have depression or whatever. And you got into God's word. You got into the Psalms and it pulled you through. Amen. Did you get pulled through? You had to go through to get pulled through. There is nothing more powerful than these words. It is written. It is written. Push back on the enemy. The sword must be unsheathed. The Bible must not lie idle. God says it will do the job. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You can trust it. You can bank on it. You can build on it. Trust his word. And finally, verse 18 says, praying always. Well, as they say about that credit card, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without being bathed in prayer. It's dangerous out there. It's frightening out there. There are people who are out to get you out there. I'm not trying to be paranoid now. Do I sound paranoid? Woo! But, I mean, you know, this is a hostile world to the beliefs in Jesus Christ. I've spoken to two or three people over the last couple of weeks who tried sharing their testimony with somebody, get right shut down. People didn't want to hear it. And they weren't nice about it. You may think that people are nice until you start talking about something they don't agree with. And all of a sudden you start to find out, hey, I thought this bird was nice. He's not so nice. All of a sudden it sounds like you're talking to Tony. Hey, I don't want to hear it, okay? And if you continue talking, I'm going to take you down. I mean, that's the way some people are. So we're not being paranoid, we're just being honest and realistic that there are people who don't want to hear what you have to say. And we see around us in our society that disagreement now leads to violence. That people are getting beat up because they wear a hat or a shirt or because they say certain things or they support certain people. And these things are happening. We're moving to a place where it's no longer tolerance, if there ever was. Don't leave home without it. Never enter the battlefield, whether it's school or work or a social event. You never know when the challenge will come. So be bathed in prayer. Pray without ceasing, God's word says. Keep the lines of communication open to the captain of your salvation. You're suited up for battle. Now go out and fight it. Fight it. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be disillusioned. Allow the Lord to fight your fight and keep on keeping on. It's time to suit up. And you've got all the necessary equipment to do that. Go do it. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.